Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jeff Madrick, author of the new book, Age of Greed, The Triumph of Finance and the Decline of America, 1970 to the Present. Jeff Madrick is a journalist, economic policy consultant, and analyst. He currently edits Challenge magazine and contributes regularly to the New York Review of Books and the New York Times, in addition to other publications. He's the author of such critically acclaimed books as Taking America, The End of Affluence, and The Case for Big Government. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeff Madrick.
Ian, it's good to speak to you.
And the day after when the enemies of big government were so triumphant.
What? Well, it's tough on the enemies of big government include so many Democrats, as well as the president. It's pretty aggravating. It's one of debt ceiling confrontation is one of the great political follies of our history, and it can only jeopardize what is already a weak economy. So we may be in for some rough waters. May have avoided one iceberg. There are a lot more icebergs out there, I'm afraid, that we'll be running close to.
Well, the Republicans want icebergs. They want them lined up. They want to be able to do this more often. And what I don't understand is how the president either got himself into this position or was forced to agree to something that's really going to damage his chances of being reelected, because his best hope was economic recovery. And these economic illiterates and nativists almost threatened the entire economy and were prepared to bring it down. And now their policies are going to absolutely kill the recovery.
I think it's hard to believe some of them, anyway, did not know what they were doing. It would be hard for me to believe most of them actually knew what they were doing, which is to box the president in. So they win either way. They win if their austerity economic theory, that is, cut government spending and uncertainty in business, will just bounce back. They win if that works, but they win if it fails, and it's going to fail, and the economy does poorly. How does the president win with 8.5% or 9% unemployment rate in an economy that's going sideways at best and maybe going down again? The president's an awfully bad chess player. What bugs me a lot more, however, is he was playing politics, as you well know, and I know you've talked about a lot, trying to put himself in the center to look like the reasonable guy, and sacrificing us and the economy in the process.
Well, but we had James Carville on earlier on the program, and he said that the biggest mistake President Obama is making is that he signed off on a deal that he's sharing billing on this disaster that Boehner claims he got 98% of what he wanted, but the president has his fingerprints all over it, and he owns this as much as Boehner does, and Carville doesn't understand why the president from day one just said, okay, well, if this is what I've been forced into signing, I'm signing it to stop the economy from being destroyed, but this is a disaster, and I in no way support it. To run for 2012, but he's clearly not doing that. So what's going on? Is he a Rockefeller Democrat, as Michael Lynn said in the opening segment?
I think maybe in his heart of heart he's a moderate, maybe even right of center, maybe doesn't really believe in government the way some of us do, and he should. But I think they did make a political calculation, and I think it's a bad one. I think they believed that the 2010 elections were lost by the Democrats because the American public thought their problems were caused by big government spending, and they were going to take another position. I think they're totally wrong. They lost the election because Americans were scared they were going to lose their jobs, which they were losing. There is more job displacement, in other words, people losing their jobs permanently than ever before. We're not getting unemployment down. As we know, we may be sinking again. And he never seemed to understand that there was a jobs crisis there. Nor, I think, did his economists right from the beginning. Now, he doesn't have any seriously prominent economists because they're not even making decisions in the White House. But they didn't help that much beforehand and indeed did a fair amount of harm.
So, Jeff Madrick, in terms of age of greed, you know, there are... clearly, the fingerprints of the Koch brothers, of Dick Armey, and of Karl Rove on the creation of the Tea Party, which in many ways is a fiction and a hoax. It's the repackaging of the right wing of the Republican Party. Our first guest, Michael Lynn, says it's actually it's just the Southern angry white Southern rejectionists that essentially make up the bulk of the caucus, by the way, in the House, and which, of course, he's quite right on. But just try and explain, if you can, if there's an explanation for this puzzlement that I have, that the Koch brothers are able to mobilize the anger of people who found their standard of living declining and channel it into a campaign to make conditions worse for the people. And here they are, out demonstrating, demanding less tax from billionaires and worse health, education, and social security for themselves.
Well, I do think, and the age of greed, this is one of the major themes of my book, Age of Greed. There was a change in the nation in the 1970s. Americans panicked under the extreme weight of high inflation and high unemployment back in the 70s. And then there was a certain amount of successful propaganda coming out of the economics profession, from the politicians. Every time the deficit would go up, they would scream government. Every time inflation would tick up, they would scream it was government's fault. Most of it was untrue, but I believe Americans began to turn against government in that period. And then business started organizing itself to lobby effectively. Think tanks began, wealthy people began giving a lot of money to right-wing think tanks, and they kept the pressure up on simple ideas and mythologies about our history. Milton Friedman was a leader of mythologizing our economic history, but there were others, not least of them Ronald Reagan. And unpredictably, for me, it has stuck. But we have to know, understand one thing historically. Americans don't become progressive in the worst of times. The New Deal makes us think that. But the progressive periods occurred during periods of more prosperity for economies, when people began to realize they had rights and prospects and could fight back. So it's not that odd historically that people are betting against their own interests. It's complicated. I don't want to give simple answers, but it's not that odd. But it's about time the media and the American people themselves begin to understand what's going on here. Government spending is not destroying this economy. Let me repeat
well,
that.
Well, nor
it is
there
not
are,
destroying yeah. this economy.
Nor are taxes,
the
by
opposite.
The way. Nor our taxes. I mean, we taxed, the United States is taxed about 34th in the world in terms of its taxation to GDP. But just in closing, then again, Jeff Madrick, author of the new book, Age of Greed, The Triumph of Finance and the Decline of America, 1970 to the present. It seems to me that also Keynesianism has taken a huge hit. I had Jeffrey Sachs on the other day, and he was railing against Krugman and this whole notion that there wasn't enough of stimulus. He said the stimulus itself was ridiculous, all this shovel-ready stuff. There was nothing about infrastructure. And he's basically saying that the problem is that we haven't had a leader that set out a proper economic a debate about, not so much being defensive about big government. As you say, that was the lesson that they mislearned from 2010. He's saying, how about having a debate about better government? How about having a debate about, getting what do you get for your taxes as opposed to how much tax do you pay? And that, what do you think
of
that?
That's a reasonable point, but I think You know, let me count the ways Jeff Sachs has been wrong in his life. you know, the long, long decline of Poland before it came back, the horrible consequences in Russia. I think Krugman is basically right about the need for a stimulus, but I think Sachs has a point. I think if Obama had one obligation, one priority as president, it should have been to tell Americans, show Americans and teach Americans what government can do and why it's necessary and vital to prosperity and social justice. And I don't think that was anywhere in his mind. I believe it must have been when we all voted for him, but I sure don't believe it was in his mind then, nor do I believe it is in his mind now. It is vital for Americans to begin to understand the purposes and needs and potential of government, and there's nobody teaching them this. This man, Obama, refuses to take the lead in educating Americans. They look at the polls, they interpret them the way they want to interpret them, and then they try to get themselves elected, and that's why we're in this horrendous fix today, when we're literally cutting government spending at a time when we may be falling into recession. It's hard to believe.
And he's also, rather than making a case for government, he's joining the other side in making government a part of the problem.
It's hard to even call him a Rockefeller Republican, a Rockefeller Democrat. Yeah. I think Rockefeller would not have taken these stands, right, putting Medicare up for reductions in Medicare and raising the eligibility age, when in fact what we need really is Medicare for all or some system like that. So it's pretty discouraging. One thing people should know is on the tax issue, and I believe you're perfectly right, taxes are low in America. We can solve any future deficit problem quite easily by taxing ourselves properly. But the Bush tax cuts were supposed to lead to rapid economic growth, and they led to the slowest growth from 2001 to 2007, before the catastrophe, of any similar period in the post-World War II period.
Well, Jeff Madrick, I thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to speak to you. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Jeff Madrick, author of the new book, Age of Greed, The Triumph of Finance and the Decline of America in 1970 to the Present. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we started out talking with Michael Lind, who has an article at Salon.com, The Tea Party, the Debt Ceiling, and White Southern Extremism. And he believes, of course, that the mainstream media have missed the story of portraying the Tea Party as an ideological rather than a regional movement. And while Michelle Bachmann and Joe Walsh may be the face of the party, the majority of its members in the House of Representatives are white Southern men. And he makes the case that this is all a part of its tradition of the white Southerners, their hostility to the North, their sense of betrayal about the Civil War, and that they are, you know, essentially still fighting the war, and they're prepared to fight it as guerrillas and to use the kind of ruthless tactics that the Tea Party have exhibited. He then went on to say that Obama is not, everybody talks about Obama's strategy being so poor. He says, no, Obama got exactly what he wanted, because this is what he does want. He's a Rockefeller Democrat, he says. You know, he's liberal on social issues, but fiscally conservative, and essentially agrees with a lot of the package, which has may come as a deep shock to a lot of people. James Carville then followed him, and he argued that as bad as a strategist Obama may have been, that he's got a golden opportunity here to run against Boehner, because Boehner says he got 98% of what he wanted. Well, now it's the Boehner economy. And just as Harry Truman ran against a do-nothing Congress, Carville thinks that Obama should run against the all-cuts, no-taxes on the billionaire Boehner Congress. And he's mystified as to why Obama agreed to this deal. Not so much that he agreed to it; he could have said, "I had to agree to it. It was, I had a gun to my head; otherwise, the entire economy would have crashed." But that would be the moment to say, "This is the Republican economy. This is what they've done," and begin to run against it. So I guess, in a sense, he's still saying that Obama is a terrible strategist. And then we spoke about the European currency crisis, which just happened today with a lot of the currencies around the world crashing, speculators rushing into the Swiss franc, a sense that the American economy is not going to improve, and that Italy and Spain are starting to show signs of going the way of Greece. And we talked a lot about how serious that was, and whether or not, in the end, that the Europeans could grasp the seriousness of the situation, since they dithered for so long over the Greek situation and only dealt with it by the time it became a huge crisis. She ultimately thinks they can get their act together, although clearly the clock is ticking, and the Spanish Prime Minister had to cut off his vacation. The bond markets are just pounding Spain, and they're pounding Italy as well. Finally, we talk with Jeff Madrick, the author of Age of Greed, which seemed to be a very appropriate book, given that greed has triumphed over governance in these last few days. And he believes in many ways that this is the suicide pact that Obama signed, that the economy will be destroyed by these austerity measures, and that Obama will be running against this economy. And it is pretty hard to understand that reasoning, but that's what we have, and that's today. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.